I'm fired up this morning. So I hope that all you that have been to Catalyst are fired up as well. I hope you are fired up, right? I haven't been to Catalyst, but I'm still fired up. And I got to tell you why I'm fired up. Right, when the team came from Loughborough, right, we done an outreach around the town. And we went to various places around the town. We prayed against a Buddhist temple. That was good. And I went around with Ruth and Chris, and we prayed in other parts of the town. And we went to various pubs in the town. We went to the Clarence. We went to the Talisman on the Square. And when we went to the Talisman on the Square, there were a lot of young men in the Talisman, right? And we took the leaflet in, the flyers that we had, right, of what was going on or going to go on in the evening in the lounge. And we also had a book like this. It's called Why Jesus, right? By Nicky Gumbel, who does the Alpha Course. And there was two young men in our pub, and that's why I'm fired up this morning, right? And I gave this to them, and the retort was this: we don't do God. We don't do God. We don't do God. So what were they saying? What were these two young men saying? There was lots of young men in the pub, but these two said, we don't do God. So I didn't force the issue, right? I just left it there, and they thanked me for not forcing the issue. But they said, we do not do God. And right, there's a man in the Bible, in the scriptures, that said exactly the same thing, right? And I'm going to read to you what he said. It's in Psalm 14 and it's verse 1. And it's also recorded in Psalm 53, right? And verses 1 to 3. And I don't know why, right, the psalmist and the Spirit of God through the psalmist has recorded this twice in Scripture. It says this: the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven, this is verse 2 of Psalm 14, upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside, they've altogether become corrupt, there is none who does good, no, not one. No, I'm going to just concentrate, right, on the first verse. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, we've got to ask ourselves the question, who is David the psalmist talking about in this psalm? He is talking about the man or the woman, the boy or the girl, who denies the very existence of God. The fool spoken of you is the sinner, me and you. Before we became Christians, before we experienced the new birth, before we became new creatures in Christ Jesus, we were fools. And our behavior, our lives, our character denied the very existence of God. One commentator has penned it like this: the fool says in his heart, there is no God, is the sensual and profane man, not enlightened with the lively light of God's Spirit, who through malice of his heart puts out as far as lieth in him all the natural lights of knowledge and of conscience concerning God. His providence, his law and judgment, that he may run headlong to do all manner of evil and sin. And the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1, sums it up like this. Romans chapter 1, verses 21, 22, and 28. He says this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and foolish in their hearts, and their hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That was you and me before we became Christians, or if we are Christians this morning. And this is right what the unbeliever, right, outside this morning is like. He doesn't want to retain God in his knowledge. The fool can satisfy himself that there is no God, but he wishes there were none, and pleases is himself with the fancy that it is possible there may be none. He cannot be sure there is one, and therefore he is willing to think there is none. There's no God. I want to relate to you now, right, a true story. And, right, it's about a customer, a man, who went into a barber shop. And it says this, a man went into a barber shop to have his hair cut and his beard trimmed. As the barber began to work, they started up a good conversation covering various subjects. I don't know what topics they talked about. I know what subjects they talked about. I don't know. When eventually they touched on the subject of God, the barber said, I don't believe God exists. Why do you say that? Asked the customer. Well, said the barber, you only have to go out in the street to realize that God doesn't exist. Tell me, if God exists, would there be so many sick people? Would there be abandoned children? If God exists, there would be neither suffering nor pain. I can't imagine, said the barber, a loving God who would allow all of these things. The customer thought for a moment, but didn't respond because he didn't want to start an argument. Nothing is ever achieved by arguments. You can't achieve nothing. You can't persuade anybody, right? Unbeliever, by an argument. The customer thought for a moment, but didn't respond because he didn't want to start an argument. The barber finished his job, and the customer left the shop. In the street, the customer saw a dirty, unkempt man with long stringy hair and an untrimmed beard. He re-entered the barber shop and said to the barber, you know what? Barbers don't exist. How can you say that? Said the barber. And right, how can you say that? Asked the barber by surprise. Here I am, and I'm a barber, and I just worked on you. I just cut your hair, trimmed your beard. No, the customer exclaimed, barbers do not exist, because if they did, there would be no people with dirty long hair and untrimmed beards like the man outside. Ah, the barber exclaimed, I do exist. What happens? People don't come to me. Exactly, affirmed the customer. That's the point. God too exists. What happens is people don't go to him. They don't look for him. They don't seek him. And Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this: "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The man in this psalm, what is he actually saying? What is he actually saying? He's saying the same as the barber. He's saying that God does not exist. But what is he actually saying? He's saying that God, right, there's no self-existent, independent, eternal, unchangeable being. That's what he's saying. There's no one that has always existed. He's saying there is no originator. There's no architect. There's no creator. Isn't this the voice and the challenge of modern man and society today? They are led by leaders who are reiterating the message of the fool in this Psalm 14 in every realm. In the realm of politics, in the realm of business, in the realm of arts, and every other sphere of everyday life. This message, this chilling declaration, is being squeezed into the minds of men and women, boys and girls, by the agents of Satan. And what are these agents of Satan saying? What is their message to the masses of humanity? This is their message, and this is what they are saying. Their message is loud and clear. There is no originator. There is no architect. There is no designer. There is no creator. There is no savior. There is no salvation. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying this morning. One of the great names of British science, of British science, mathematics, and philosophy, Sir Isaac Newton. He was born in 1642, and he lived till 1727. He had someone make for him a miniature model of the solar system. A large golden ball representing the sun was at its center, and around it revolved smaller spheres representing the planets. They were each kept in an orbit relatively the same as in the real solar system by means of rods, cogwheels, and belts and gears. They all moved around the center golden ball in exact precision. A friend called on the noted man one day while he was studying the model. The friend was not a believer in the biblical doctrine of creation, remarked, "My Newton, what an exquisite thing. Who made it for you?" And Newton replied, "Nobody. Nobody made it. Nobody made it." "Nobody," answered the man. "That's right," Newton responded. "I said nobody made it. All of these balls and all of these belts and gears just happened to come together. And wonder of wonders, by chance, they began revolving in their set orbits with perfect timing. Nobody done it." That's what the man in Psalm 14 is saying. Nobody done it. Nobody created it. Nobody created this earth. Nobody created the solar system. Nobody created the stars. It all just happened. Haphazard. Do you believe that? What is the answer of the individual Christian and the Christian church locally and worldwide to the chilling rantings of this man in this psalm? And not only this man, but present day atheists, agnostics, the like of Richard Dawkins, who has written a book called The God Delusion, which has presently sold over 2 million copies worldwide. And here are some of the previews about this book. Richard Dawkins, this is what somebody says, right? Richard Dawkins is energizing a huge unbelieving constituency in this country who feel disenfranchised by the present obsession with religion. All power to him, we say. And this was written by Terry Sanderson of the National Secular Society. And there's another review. Richard Dawkins is Britain's most famous atheist. And in The God Delusion, he gives eloquent vent to his uncompromising views. If you want an understanding of evolution or an argument for atheism, there are few better guides than Richard Dawkins, the Sunday Telegraph. So what is the answer to these men? What is the answer? So what is right the Achilles heel to the likes of Richard Dawkins, this present-day Goliath, this present-day champion who writes and tells millions of people worldwide, God is a delusion. God is nothing. That's what he's saying. He sings the same song as the man in Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What's the answer? What's the killer blow? What's the Achilles heel right to these people? Right? We as Christians, as individuals, we as Christians, as the church, has got to face up to this question. And I want to suggest to you this morning, right, that the answer, which these people cannot come back to, is a transformed life. A transformed life. A life that is been transformed by God through Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ, right? That all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New creatures. I want to give you another story. Charles Bradlaugh, well, what a name. Charles Bradlaugh, an atheist, once challenged H.B. Hughes, a Christian preacher, to a debate. Hughes, who was head of a rescue mission in London, accepted the challenge with the condition that he could bring with him 100 men and women who would tell what had happened in their lives since trusting Christ as their Savior. They would be people who once lived in deep sin, some having come from poverty-stricken homes caused by the vices of their parents. Hughes said they would not only tell of their conversion, but would submit to cross-examination by any who doubted their stories. Furthermore, the minister invited his opponent to bring a group of non-believers, people who said there's no God, who could tell how they were helped by their lack of faith. When the appointed day arrived, the preacher came accompanied by 100 transformed lives. 100 transformed lives. But Bradlaugh never showed up. The result, the meeting turned into a testimony time, and many sinners who had gathered to hear the scheduled debate were converted. Right. That's the argument against the atheist, against the agnostic, against the person this morning who says there is no God. It's a transformed life. You know, that's why I'm fired up this morning. That's why I'm fired up. Those two guys in the pub, they fired me up to preach like this morning. What about you? You got this message? You got this message. Is this right, like Isaiah said, right? It's hot coals on my tongue and I cannot but speak it out. We've got to tell this world there's a God. You're looking down on us now. Jesus, the Son of God, is in glory, seated at his Father's right hand, looking down upon the sons of men, seeing the works of men in the earth. He's looking down this morning. And right, he's a God of love, like we've been singing this morning. His love never, never runs out. Never runs out. Hallelujah. Never, never runs out. What a Savior. What a God. Just want to ask you this morning, you like this fool? I'm going to challenge you this morning. It might be somebody here. You like this fool, right? Are you saying in your heart there is no God? You saying that? You might not say it audibly. You might not speak it out like I'm speaking it out this morning. But you might be saying it in your heart. There's no God. There is a God. There's a God who wants to come into your life. He wants to invade your life. Wants to come in and turn you upside down, inside out, as he wants to do this morning. He wants to bless you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to show you his mercy, his love, his grace. He wants to bless you. Don't be like the man in this psalm. And thousands who have gone before, millions who have gone before, they've been like Richard Dawkins. And you know what? Commentators give a description, right, of the fool. This fool is like a leaf. He withers away. Withers away. That's his end. He withers away. So I hope there's nobody here this morning who's like the man in Psalm 14. If there is, and if I've managed to change your mind this morning, I pray you would come out and speak with me or speak with Stuart, speak with Philip this morning. May the Lord bless you this morning and fire you up and energize you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, well, let's...